Today on Real Radio.
What are you afraid of? The Holy Spirit? It's the Holy Spirit that's going to see to it you get to heaven. You may be afraid of Him, which is a tragedy, but it's because you've been mistaught.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. We're in a mini-series taken from chapter 16 where David, who would eventually, of course, become King David, is sought out by Samuel himself following God's instructions. This is all because the Almighty God quickly took a dim view, if you will, of King Saul because of his disobedience. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, continuing in this mini-series taken from 1 Samuel chapter 16. It's called When God Comes Upon a Man.
What is the difference of the Holy Spirit in you versus the Holy Spirit alongside you versus what we're hearing here in David's life and what is to be a constant experience in the New Testament believer's life, the Holy Spirit, not alongside, not inside, that's already settled. We're Christians. Upon us for growth, power, and service. Wisdom, my goodness, with the Spirit coming upon you, wisdom, discernment, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit of God. I'm curious, how many of you in here, you know you're born again and you're going to heaven. You've confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior. You're trusting in Him to take you to heaven. Look at these. Keep your hand up. Everybody look around. Look. Take a peek. Look at these hands. Put your hand down. Do you realize something? Every one of you, I love it. Every one of you who just raised your hand, according to the Bible, you and I have at least one gift given by the Holy Spirit. At least one. I'm not quite sure, I can't nail those down yet, but I've seen in my life, I have seen five of the gifts used in my life. And you might say, whoa. No, wait a minute. Here's what I have found out. It's not I'm going to give Jack five of those things. Woo. No, it's not that. You know what? I have found this. The more you venture out for the Lord to exalt Him, And to just be used, I don't know, let's try. Let's see if God's in this. And you step out, wow, you find out that the gifts of the Spirit are working. It's amazing. Words of knowledge, wisdom. Amazing. Teaching. Faith. Now, I don't consider myself having the gift of healing, but I've prayed for people and they've been healed at the spot. You say, whoa, that would be awesome. I got new. You want to start praying for people who are sick? Get up and do it. See what happens.
Well, what if nothing happens?
At least you got up and tried it. What do you do? Sit there all day for the rest of your life? Get up and try. How are you going to know? See, we want the power. I got the power. I got the Spirit of God in me. Well, what are you going to do with it? He's not going to give you the power if you're just going to sit on it. You got to go. You got to do. Step out and see. I told you before, it's a picture I'll never forget. It must have been a year or two ago now where I was at a stoplight in Chino Hills and this tremendous big Porsche pulls up. And the guy's, you know, vroom, vroom. It's just, wow. And the guy on the back of that Porsche, this guy's got this wing that comes right out of the back end of the car. You couldn't even see it until he revs up the engine, and the wing comes out of the back of the car. And that guy is the biggest wing on the back of a Porsche I've ever seen. But you know what? Unless you're going over 180 miles an hour, it doesn't work. You can just go, whoom, whoom, look at my wing. Look at it. I got the biggest wing in the city. Look at this wing. And it's like, big deal. What's the deal? You're sitting at a stoplight. Take this baby up to 180 and then we'll talk about it. What good is it? Oh, man, I got the Spirit of God. Well, wait, let's see your love. Let's see your mercy. Let's see the gifts of the Spirit. It's true. The filling or baptism of the Holy Spirit is very different than being saved and brought into the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit wants to work in our lives. Baptism with the Holy Spirit is an empowerment. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 12 says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one of the members of the body of Christ for the profit of everyone." Isn't that great? Did you see all of you raising your hands? Do you know every one of you has at least one gift? And I need you to start using your gift because it blesses me and everybody else around you. That ought to excite you. The gift is given by the Spirit of God for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, healings, plural actually, by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles. Wow, what if some of you in here who raised your hand, you've got the gift of the working of miracles? You know, God gives this gift. Do you have it? You know, it'd be sad. I'm not going to ask because I'm afraid of the answer. But is anybody in here? Don't raise your hand if you do and don't respond. But, you know, if I were to ask, does anybody in here have the gift of the Holy Spirit and the working of miracles? I would be freaking out if nobody raised their hand. I think I'd want to run out of here. Why? Because God, this is to the New Testament church. God wants to work in our midst. Is there anybody here? Does anyone dare ask God tonight, Lord, do you want to give me the gift of the working of miracles? Do you dare ask? Let's ask. What are you afraid of? The Holy Spirit? It's the Holy Spirit that's going to see to it you get to heaven. You may be afraid of Him, which is a tragedy, but it's because you've been mistaught. Or you've seen some bogus manifestation of what's supposed to be the Spirit of God. People rolling around and biting each other's ankles or whatever they do and barking like dogs and crazy things. And it's like, man, I don't want anything to do with that. I'm with you. I don't want anything to do with that either. But Satan attacks the church and tries to derail people from the truth. He says, to another, the gift of prophecy. To another, the discerning of spirits. I've had that happen in my life. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. These are New Testament gifts available now for the building up of the body. By one and the same Spirit, these things all work together, distributing, that is the Spirit of God does it, to each one individually as He wills it. For as the body is one, that's the church, the corporate church body, and has many members, that's you and me, but all the members of the one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Isn't that great? All of us are to be working together under the power of the Holy Spirit so that we're all built up and strengthened. Ministry is accomplished, the world is changed, you're blessed. And you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. To not do that is to say, God, don't do anything in my life. I'm saved. That's fine. I don't want to do anything else for you. That's it. And tragically, that's a great loss. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, concerning the Holy Spirit, He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Do you have power? If you don't, He's not coming upon you. You'll have power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You want to be a witness for the Lord? Doesn't mean preach and go door to door and hand out tracts. That doesn't mean that necessarily. But do you care about people's souls? You want to see your husband or your wife or your kids or your mom and dad get into heaven with you? Ask God to give you the power of the Holy Spirit. Didn't James tell us we don't have? Because what? We don't ask. I mean, you think about this. What kind of a nut would leave a church service not asking God to bless them with the gifts of the Spirit or the filling or the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? Or the coming upon of the Spirit of God. Why would we not ask? Now, don't tell me later, because you'll be wrong. And I'll tell you, if you come up to me later and say, well, you know, I don't ask things for myself. I only ask for others. Boy, are you wrong. Read the Sermon on the Mount. And there Jesus gives us a pattern and a model of prayer. And you better read it carefully. You are to pray for yourself. And then James comes again, as I said earlier, you don't have all the fullness of God and all what you ask or what you should be asking for because you don't ask Him. Man, every kid, every parent in here, every engaged person or every employer or employee ought to say, Lord, make me the best employer my people have ever had. You going to call that a selfish prayer? And then you'd have to throw Jabez's famous prayer right out the door, huh? I heard a lot of people arguing and bickering about the prayer of Jabez like it wasn't in the Bible. It's in the Bible. And these super spiritual knuckleheads come up to me and say, well, I would never be praying a prayer like Jabez. Well, that's your problem. It's in the Bible. Jabez cries out to God and he says, oh God, please make my life a blessing to people. I don't want to cause pain anymore. Make me a blessing. We ought to pray that prayer all the time. But this self-hypocrisy thing, oh, and I'm not going to ask God for me. It's wrong. Acts chapter 9, verse 17, Paul's conversion. It says there that when he was in the house, hands were laid upon Paul. And Ananias prayed and he says, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus Christ who appeared unto you on the road as you came has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. Ananias laid his hands on Paul and Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. John 7, 37 and 39. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his heart, or his bowels actually, people, his inner, your innermost being, the center of your life, will flow rivers of living water. But this Jesus spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. I love this next verse. It's one of my all-time favorites. Luke 11, verse 9 through 13. This is a great one. Mark it down. Luke 11, verse 9. I'm going to give you a little clue. Jesus is speaking to believers. And he says to them, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Do you hear that? You ask, it's going to be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. Wow, listen. What did he say? Everyone who asks receives. Did you hear that? Anybody not hear that? Ask, you'll get it. It takes faith to believe this. Frankly, it doesn't take much faith, though, does it? It's pretty clear. Everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks you for bread from a father among you, will he give him a stone? That's ridiculous. Nobody's going to give a little boy a stone when he's hungry. I love this divine sarcasm. Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if he asks you for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? The answer is obvious. If you then, being earthly people, evil, carnal, worldlings, but you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much, listen to this. This is the answer for the context. The stone, the scorpion, the serpent, the bread, the egg, the food. Ask, keep knocking, all this. Why? Why is Jesus saying this? Because Jesus says, in verse 13 of Luke 11, if you then, being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Isn't that great? Here's the deal. And that's for people who've been abused, in my opinion. Oh, I don't want to ask God to give me the Holy Spirit. I might freak out, throw myself down. My tongue might go out and start. I can't even control it. There'll be tongues going everywhere. And what if I just... What are you watching too much TV? What are you afraid of? If you ask your Heavenly Father, is he going to give you a scorpion? No, he's going to give you the Spirit of God. I love that verse. I love that promise. The functionality of the Holy Spirit is manifested in the life of the believer by the power of the Spirit. It's so very important. John 16, verse 7, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away from you. For if I do not go away, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Comforter, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to the Father and you'll see me no more, and of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. The Holy Spirit coming, it's the promise of the Father through Jesus Christ. John 14:16. Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphaned, I will come to you. And that there, in that verse of John 14, are the two manifestations of the Spirit, where the Spirit of God was alongside of you before you came to Christ. Then when you got saved, he came inside you. And then from Acts chapter 1, till today, the Holy Spirit is not only alongside you, but in you, but to come upon you. In the book of Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came upon them. How's that? Why is that? Because he was already dwelling in them, and he had always been alongside them. There were two manifestations of the Spirit until after Pentecost. Pentecost was the third. And the church today, in 2,000 years, the church today is still weak, and it's waning, and it's struggling, and it ought not to be. We should be 2,000 years more experienced in the power of the Holy Spirit than any other church age of all time. But the exact opposite's true. Why? Attack, enemy sowing discord, false manifestation of the Spirit, not the Spirit of God. And so many Christians, because they're not schooled in the teaching of this topic, they just shut down. And it is my opinion, because of that, many Christians struggle today in their Christian existence. And they lack the power. And they lack the victory, because there's no power. Throughout Scripture, a handful of men, in fact, one of the guys, the chief knucklehead of them all, Peter, a blundering goofball until the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit came upon Peter, and he went down to the southern steps there of the temple. Some of us have stood there. Those steps are unearthed today. You can stand there. And Peter preached a message. He had divine understanding of the Word of God. He had extreme boldness that was previously not Peter. He was dynamic. He was influential and persuasive. He could argue. And he gave forth the Word of God with boldness. And in one sermon, we don't know how long it was. It appears, if you time it in the book of Acts, very short, 3,000 people got saved in one message. And I want to ask you, was that for then? Or does God want souls to be saved now? Let me ask you this. How many souls does God want to have saved now? He's desiring that all should come to the saving knowledge. You know what? We're building a church with a large sanctuary. But if the Spirit of God had his way, we'd have to sell that building today, sell that land today. We'd have to hold church on the side of a hill because there would be tens of thousands of people coming to hear the word of God if we were just more of a church that could handle, including myself, the influx of souls. Because you know what? It can't be one man being filled or one other man being filled or a group over here being filled or that little group back there being filled. We've all got to be filled with the Holy Spirit to manage and to serve and to be a witness to a host of people getting saved. The Bible says they were all filled with the Spirit of God. Does that excite you? I tell you, it pumps me up. Because you're talking with a guy, you're hearing a guy right now who was rejected in his life, stuttered profusely until Jesus healed me, would sit, I would never speak because I stuttered so bad. I would never speak to anybody. I could hardly ask my wife out on a date. It was true. I stuttered so bad when I met my wife. And Jesus healed me one night. And I tell you, I was silent for so many years. He said, man, you teach for an hour. You know what, buddy? We're talking 20 years of being bottled up. And now that I got something to talk about, I'm going to talk. And the great thing about it is, I tell you, I'm so glad because who knows, man? I mean, if the Lord wants to humble me, there's quite a few other ways He could do it, by the way. There's other things that's going on in my life. God could say, hey, let's go back to your old kind of tongue, huh? You know, and that's why when I hear somebody stutter, I remember that pain. It's a painful feeling. I just want to love them to death. And then if somebody says, well, I got a disease, man, I want to love them to death too. I know what that's like too. But if you think about it, were you ever made fun of? Were you ever rejected? Did you ever not fit in? What is your thing? The Holy Spirit will empower you. He may or may not take that ailment away. Okay? But He'll give you the power and the victory to go through it. And I can tell you now, I would never have wanted to have been a normal person and wind up being lost in the end. My life, as you know, I was a failed abortion on top of it. My mom committed abortion because she was so distraught and brokenhearted, and I was saved. I wouldn't change a thing. That doesn't hurt my feelings. It tells me God's on the throne. And I want the Holy Spirit to be my power. I want the Holy Spirit to be my strength. And so tonight I want to ask you, do you want the Holy Spirit to be your power, to be your strength? Then what have you learned tonight? You've got to ask Him. You've got to ask the Lord Jesus Christ, or ask the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, give me the promise. Baptize me, fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. Will you trust Him to take care of you?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called When God Comes Upon a Man. It's actually a mini-series taken from 1 Samuel chapter 16, where David is sought out by Samuel to be anointed as king. We'll continue more of this amazing verse-by-verse account through this Old Testament book of 1 Samuel on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, of course, this being Monday means that tonight you can catch our television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs every Monday night, 7 o'clock West Coast time, on his channel. That's hischannel.com. Now, it's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs because you'll often see Pastor Jack sit down with some very interesting folks to talk about the hard-hitting topics and issues that affect all of us as believers, both personally and also in the big picture. And Pastor Jack always addresses these issues, of course, through the lens of Scripture. In other words, through the Judeo-Christian worldview. So Real Life with Jack Hibbs every Monday night, 7 o'clock West Coast time, on his channel, hischannel.com. In fact, to make things easy, we've got a link to his channel from our own realradioactive.org. By the way, our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. Toll-free 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.